You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
That's where, like, it's Kenny Chesney, Jason Aldean, like that. Those are the guys that fill up Lambeau, not Billy Joel. That's weird. Toby Keith, Alan Jackson. You kind of get the theme here.
I'm picking up on it.
I mean, Bon Iver.
So we need
he'd fill it up.
Oh yeah.
There's a time and a place for Bon Iver.
Lambeau Field's probably
Probably not. I'm guessing it's probably not
it. Bon Iver can only play at Austin City Limits.
Curly's Pub on a Thursday.
Yep. Hey guys, can I play here? No stoners allowed. Get out of here.
Cut your hair.
Are you wearing Lee dungarees, you idiot?
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. I am very excited tonight because I have two out of three of my regular peeps that we shoot the shiz with on this amazing podcast here. Dusty and Jordan are joining me tonight, and we are missing Brian, but you know, he's not with us right now currently, but he will always be in our hearts. And
He'll usually be 75% of the time.
We could make it a coin toss, actually. Should be a...
Yeah. Coin toss right off the bat. Is Brian in our hearts over or under 50% of the time? And Jordan, it is heads. Huh. Brian is always on your heart 100% of the time.
I pass. Pass to Dusty.
Oh my gosh, guys, it has been too long. It has been long. And I know there's some people out there that have been listening to our mini episodes, and we really appreciate it. Last week Jordan and I got together and gave you guys some hopefully a nice entertaining podcast, and I know you guys have been missing Dusty's voice. So let's hear what's been happening in Dusty's life.
Nothing, man. I've been taking small break from football, as I normally do after the season. It's the articles and the podcast gets a bit much, so after the season I take a little bit of time, get caught up on some horror movies, try to be a halfway decent father. Now I'm back. I'm done with that stuff. I'm excited, man. I'm gonna start digging into some stuff this off season. Still got some horror related things going on. I'm hopefully recording a mini podcast on my own next week, man. I'm excited. My little mini break is over. I'm excited to kind of jump back in.
Well, you have been missed, and you are very
you
are welcomed back with the openest of arms, Dusty. And we were just talking before we started recording tonight about how you just got a Raspberry Pi loaded.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
All the emulators you could ever want.
Yeah,
how's that been going for you?
Oh man, like I never realized how many terrible Nintendo games there are. Like just every terrible movie from the mid 90s has a Nintendo game. I was playing last night Cliffhanger. They made a game off the movie Cliffhanger where it's a cheap little side scroller.
My gosh.
You kick wolves. and just like birds dive bomb you, and you gotta like just punch these birds in the face as you like gather money for Quaylen. I was gonna as soon as we get done here, I'm gonna play. There's a Bram Stoker's Dracula that for the life of me I can't figure out what goes into that game. So I'm a lot of my time's going there now. I just got that this past weekend. It's amazing. A whole bunch of arcade games and stuff. It's like I'm 7 years old again.
Did Sylvester Stallone give the voice for the Cliffhanger video game?
Sadly, I had the sound off, so I did not hear it. But I'm gonna go ahead and say no. It looked like the kind of game that just had a lot of kind of bleeps and bloops.
Gotcha.
But you know what? I'll report back the next time. I'll have the sound on the next time I play it. I'll report back.
That's good. Send out some tweets.
I will do. Yeah, I'll keep you all posted for sure.
Speaking of games that like I have never been able to figure out, I had Mission Impossible for the N64, and I don't know if you guys have played that game or not, but I just could not get past the first level. Like, I bought it thinking it was just going to be so sweet, and like I just could not get past the first level. It was probably the worst video game I think I've ever played.
I honestly didn't even know there was a game.
I think I remember seeing it at Blockbuster growing up. I don't know if I ever rented it though.
Just save yourself hours and hours of frustration and just don't even circle back to it. Gotcha. It was,
what was it? Did you say was it N64, John?
N64. And
I probably have it. I may give it a shot, see what it's like.
Dusty, I said don't do it. It's just terrible. But
I just said I was like happy to be back and I'm back in the world of football and stuff, but it turns out no, I'm not. Now I'm just gonna play a whole bunch of terrible video games.
I'm just very excited for Dusty to download the game and then beat it in one sitting. And then tell John all about
John,
it.
It was a piece of cake. I'm like, probably, playing with one hand. I just killed it.
that's probably what's going to happen. But Jordan,
yeah,
you are joining us too tonight. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. We just had a school fundraiser at Texas Roadhouse. Had a New York strip steak with some fries and some green beans. I'm feeling pretty good right now, guys.
Tell me more about the steak. Medium rare?
Medium rare. I mean, who do you think I am?
Mushrooms and onions?
I didn't go mushrooms and onions. I went a little bit cheaper in that regard. I just went with the meat.
Jordan.
Treat yourself. In hindsight, the mushrooms and onions would have been a nice addition. But I can live with what I did. I still feel pretty good right now. It was a very good steak. Had the bread, the peanuts. It's fantastic.
Oh man.
I mean, I am telling you right now, I think Texas Roadhouse is probably my go-to restaurant. If I had to choose a restaurant to go to, it could be Texas Roadhouse. Did you do the loaded mashed potatoes?
I didn't, but
oh my gosh, you did Texas Roadhouse so wrong, Jordan. You did it so wrong.
There's so much passion about Texas we'll go Roadhouse. There. I think I've been there like
when
one
we're
time.
When we're in Green Bay next, John, we will go to Texas Roadhouse and I'll get the loaded mashed potatoes. I'm excited now.
No, fun fact for all of our listeners. Jordan is flying back to Wisconsin for the U.S. Open, which is being held in Wisconsin this year. And that is when we will go to Texas Roadhouse.
I like it.
And I will show you how to do Texas Roadhouse, Jordan.
I expect pictures.
We got to do Texas Roadhouse, and we got to get the mine shaft in there too, man. Gotta get the mineshaft in there.
Man, Wisconsin has so many staples. Texas Roadhouse. Yeah,
Dusty has no idea.
Is
what
only
we're talking
in
about
Wisconsin.
Though. Yeah.
Yep. Because Texas Roadhouse is only in Wisconsin. So, but geez,
I've
but
been
geez
to Wisconsin.
Louise. it's a great state, and I hold it in high esteem. And Jordan, we are ready for you to come back. I am particularly ready for you to come back. We're gonna have a nice little.
What that means?
I don't know what it means either. But we're going with it, and we're gonna actually have. This is one of the smoothest transitions I think I've ever done so far. We're gonna have the best time right now, in a segment that we are going to call. To be or not to be, and that is going to be players on the active Packers roster that are either going to be free agents or potentially rumors of them being cut. And Dusty and Jordan will be going back and forth, deciding whether or not this player is going to be a Green Bay Packer or not. So with that being said, are you guys ready for this list of players I have concocted in the last 3 minutes?
Bring it on, man.
Sure enough.
Let us start off with a player that's contract is not expired, but there's rumors that he could potentially be cut due to performance issues. So that player is one Clay Matthews. Is Clay Matthews going to be a Packer in this upcoming Packer season? Jordan, why don't you go ahead and start?
If the question is he going to be a Packer, I truly believe that he is. I believe that Ted will not get rid of him as if he's still under contract. That's where I'm at right now. Me personally, if it was me, there's two options. If I'm the general manager, he's either taking a pay cut, a relatively substantial pay cut, or he's out. There are simply too many players that can do what he did last year for this team. There's chances of him still being able to come back and be productive, but even before he was hurt, he wasn't that good. I just think that we can get the production that we got from him for way cheaper than what we're paying for him. So, but if I just don't see Ted pulling the trigger and actually cutting him loose during this offseason.
Dusty?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I mean, he's still a fan favorite, and the excuse you can use for him from last year is he was injured. And even before the shoulder injury, he missed some time with an ankle, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had an ankle injury, missed a couple games with. And then he came back, messed up his shoulder. He had that great play in the Giants game where he did the sack fumble and then ran down the field and then forced a second fumble for an unsuspecting Giant. So, I mean, that was cool. That's a cool play. He's still capable of those occasionally, but man, not for the money they're paying him. And I mean, that was the thing when he was inside for the past couple of years. He looked good inside, but the fear was that he had lost his explosiveness going back outside. And I mean, that appeared to be the case this past year. I think he's it's a combination of age and injuries. I think it's just kind of worn him down, and he's not the player he was. I don't think he ever will be. I think situational pass rusher, like, yeah, he could still be okay. But they're not paying him to be a situational pass rusher. He can't play full-time inside. His coverage skills aren't great. He can't play full-time outside because he's just not as effective as he was. I'm with Jordan. I mean, I love Clay Matthews. He's done just tremendous things the times that we've had him. I think his time as a difference maker are done. But I don't think this is the year they're going to cut him. I wouldn't mind seeing him gone, but if I were to guess, he's back in Green Bay next year, without any kind of rework thing. I think he's just coming back on the salary he is. I don't think that's right, but I do think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be looking at it from a standpoint where he's not going to be getting another big contract in the NFL. Just where his play has been most likely. And I mean, he's going to want as much money as he possibly can get. So I would love to see him take a pay cut, take one for the team. And, but I don't see that happening.
You know, I mean, part of it is, I mean, you had Perry was kind of injured this year, but they don't have anyone else on the other side that takes pressure off of him either. So, I mean, if he was the second guy, if they had a dominant pass rusher and he's the second guy, I still think he's capable of doing that. But they didn't really have that guy this year. Like, Perry's good, but Perry was injured, and he's been inconsistent throughout his career. But I think as the guy, which he's being asked to do, like, those days are done. I still think he could be good somewhere in the right situation, but just as, like, the number one pass rusher, I don't see it anymore. Sorry, I went over.
To end the Clay Matthews talk on a positive note, he... Without him, we don't win Super Bowl 45 probably. Without that forced fumble, so.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt,
Packer.
Yeah.
Man, that was very awesome. Very awesome.
That was the play I went the most nuts for during that game.
Well, and seeing that Super Bowl DVD too, where he's yelling at Pickett. You can see him. He's Green gives him the speech. Yeah. And then even before the play, he's saying to the guys in the huddle, he's like, they're looking my way, they're looking my way. He yells out instructions to Pickett. Like, that whole sequence is just incredible. Yeah. It's the same thing as Starks. I mean, Starks was great during that run. But Starks' time is done. It's the same thing as Matthews. I love Matthews for what he's done.
I mean, but yeah, Matthews.
The money he's making.
Yeah. I mean, he was 24 when that happened. He's 30 now. It's just, it's tough.
With just tons of injuries, like miles and injury on his
body. Yeah, it's just tough.
And you mentioned his name in your Clay Matthews talk, Dusty. And the next name that we will hit on our list is going to be Nick Perry. So, Dusty, why don't you go ahead and get us started on whether or not you think Nick Perry is going to be a Green Bay Packer next year or not.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at the cap stuff as far as what the Packers got going on, but based on how he played last year, it took a hit a little bit after the cast, but both against the pass, say in the pass rush and against the run, like one of the best players on defense last year, which isn't saying much because the defense was kind of terrible. I mean, Daniels was obviously the number one. I'd say Clinton Dix second, maybe Burnett third, and then I'd put Perry probably fourth the time he was out there and healthy. I mean, the only thing I would say is I think he'll be back. It depends on the money. If someone's willing to shell out huge money for him, his time in Green Bay has been a combination of inconsistent and ineffective and injured. And if they think he's going to be the guy, if they think he can stay on the field and be a difference maker while he's out there all the time, I mean, it's one of those, he had, I think, 11 sacks this year, if I'm not mistaken, which was awesome, but it's a contract year. I think last year he had, I don't know, three or four. I don't think he's ever top six. I think he had 11 this past year. So are you paying for his best year when he's already been injured and when he's been consistent? If I were to guess, I'd say he's back. But I don't think it's going to be huge money. If someone throws huge money at him, I think he's gone. I don't think anyone will. I think he'll come back on a decent, say, 3-year deal or something. I think he'll be back in Green Bay next year, but I don't think it's going to be a huge deal.
Jordan.
Well, yeah, I for the most part, I do agree. I think actually the injury last year in terms of the Packers and their financial situation might have helped, to be honest. If Perry goes and has a truly dynamite, I mean, he had a good year up until he got hurt, but imagine he doesn't get hurt, keeps playing the way he was playing, you know, gets in the 12, 13, 14 sack range. Well, then you're looking at huge money that I'm not sure the Packers would be willing to invest into it. I'm not sure. It would certainly change their perspective of it, but you know, a lot more teams would be, you know, looking at him with that, with the arm injury that, or the hand injury that he had. You know, teams are going to probably shy away from that a little bit. So the Packers might get lucky in the fact that teams are going to shy away. They can get him on the cheap. And you never know if he does stay healthy over the next 2, 3, 4 years, then, I mean, then the Packers could get a really, really good outside linebacker for a good price. It just comes down to the price tag. I mean, you can't overpay for the dude. If the price tag's too high, you got to just be ready to let him go and fill the void. But, I think Perry can be very good. I mean, he's only 26. I mean, he's still quite young. He's 4 years younger than Clay, so he's still got his best physical years ahead of him in the next 2 or 3 years. So I would love to see him back. I'd prefer to see him back. I've seen some of the numbers that, you know, people don't want to go over for Nick Perry. I wouldn't mind going over them a little bit, but you can't get too insane. But I don't think the amounts will be that insane. So I envision Perry being back in a Packers uniform next year.
Here's a question for you on Perry, though. Like, if they're not going to shell out for him, this is just something I'm thinking about. So we already talked about the lack of a pass rush. I mean, they got Fackrell, but he didn't really do anything this past year. I don't know if he's going to be anything. Matthews isn't the guy. If Perry is your pass rusher and you don't shell out for him, what pass rush do we have next year?
That's the thing.
Like, I don't want to give him big money either. But if we don't, and I mean, we may address it in the draft, but then you're expecting a rookie to come in and be a total game changer. We know Perry can be that guy. I'm scared of not paying him enough, letting him walk, and then we're left even worse straits than we were this past year.
Right.
Would just be typical Ted Thompson to expect a rookie to come in there and produce like a 5-year vet. You know, it's.
Which they can. I think Clay had 10 sacks in his rookie year.
That's kind of what Perry was drafted for, too. I mean, that was really his original purpose. So, I understand that. I mean, I don't really know. If you're not going to pay Perry, then you're probably not going to pay any of these other free agents out there. So, yeah, you would be banking on a rookie. So that's It's risky. It's definitely risky. But it, I mean, you're they always look the long run. Ted always looks the long run. He's not just looking talking about. He's not just looking at next season. So, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if the money got too high that he doesn't pull the trigger on it. But at the same point, I just don't believe that the offers are going to get that insane for a guy like Dick Perry. I really don't. So I think I think he's back.
And the last thing I'll add about Nick Perry is a question for you, Dusty, because you initially brought it up. And that is, you know, what is the price that's too high to retain Nick Perry in your mind? I mean, we talking nine mil per year? Is that too much?
I think for a guy like Perry, I wouldn't want to give him a long-term deal just because of the injury history and the inconsistency. I mean, I would think like three years, $8 million a year, maybe. Maybe slightly higher if it goes a little higher, but not too much more than that, I wouldn't think. I mean, I wouldn't go more than an average of 10 a year for a guy like Perry.
Yeah, the number I've seen was 8.5. I wouldn't mind going 9. It would maybe 10. It would maybe depend on how the deal is structured, but you can't. I mean, once you're getting into eight figures, that's kind of danger zone for a guy that hasn't been. He's had one exceptional season, and even with that season, he got hurt last year. So that's
because he had. Let's see, I'm looking him up right now, but he had 11 sacks last year. And then before that, like I said, he never broke double digits. Yeah. I'm looking him up right now to see. I think he had in his career, starting in 2012, number of sacks, 2, 4, 3, 3.5, 11. So his highest sack total was his second year when he had 4 sacks. Then he suddenly jumps to 11 this past year, which is awesome, but that's not necessarily a track record of consistency that you want to pay huge money.
It's also
for. I really like Nick Perry, and I think this could have been his breakout, but at the same time, there's not enough there to just back up.
And the also, too, the stats are probably skewed in the fact that Matthews didn't perform at all this year. So, I mean, the sacks have to go somewhere. They're going to come from somewhere. A lot of times, even with Perry, they were late in the game when the game was decided. So, I don't even know how many of those sacks. I don't know how many of those sacks were impact sacks.
Well, even beyond sacks, though, I mean, this year, just from watching him, he did look better. Even like he was one of the better run defenders that we had. He set the edge well. Like he was instinctive. He knew what he was doing. So, I mean, even beyond the sack numbers, he was a good player. I just don't know that you want to shell out money for that. I don't think.
Right. And there's a lot of guys that can fit that description, though. So it's just.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to our next pass rusher on this list, I guess. It's going to be. To be or not to be, Julius Peppers. Jordan.
No. The man is 37 years old. I don't know if he's just good enough to know that if he can do one really good thing every game in a kind of decently important moment in the game, that's enough for them to be thinking about keeping him around, but you can't keep this dude around. I mean, they paid him almost, what did they pay him, like $8.5 million this past year? It's just not worth it. You can get Pepper's production from from an undrafted free agent that Ted loves probably this upcoming season. There's no need to pay the dude. You have no idea if he's going to stay healthy. He's probably just going to get a step slower, and this defense is already slow. There's zero reason to keep Peppers on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% in agreement. He had 7.5 sacks this past year. They limited his snaps early to kind of keep him healthy for the playoffs. He made a couple big plays down the stretch, but, like, he's useless unless it's against the pass. He can barely play the run. In fact, he barely seems like he even cares about playing the run anymore. He gets washed out of plays with regularity. He gives maximum effort, like, even if he's out there 80% of the snaps, which he was during the stretch. He gives maximum effort on maybe half the snaps he's out there. If the ball's run away from him or if he doesn't get his initial push, a lot of times he just kind of gives up, which is fine. I mean, with the plays that he can make, that's fine. But like you said, he's older. He's going to command a lot of salary, too much for the production he gives. And he doesn't play special teams. Like, I'd rather see a young guy out there doing a little bit more on special teams. I'd love to see J'Ron Elliott out there a little more than I would have seen Julius Peppers. Yeah. So, I I can't imagine Peppers is going to be back next year. I think this is it for him. And he's great while he was there for the most part. I liked having him on the team. Wish we could have got him that ring, but yeah, I can't see him back next year.
You talk about Jaron Elliott too. It's just I do wonder at times, for as many times as he was in healthy, inactive, like if he was in the doghouse or something. It's just it seemed like every time the dude was on the field, when you talk about limited snaps, he had limited snaps. And he seemed to be doing stuff all the time. In the years that
smart guy too. I think of he picked off a one hand interception off Russell Wilson a couple years ago on a screen pass that he just read and diagnosed perfectly. Like he knows what to do. He's just a beast on special teams, and he also makes plays when you get him on the field as a pass rusher. Like I don't know why he hasn't seen.
Just keep the talk going, guys, because this is to be or not to be. Jaron Elliott was the next guy on the list, so give me your thoughts on him. Is he going to be a Packer next year, or what do you guys think?
Well, he's a restricted free agent. He's not going to cost a lot. He's not going to cost a lot at all. So you're going to save if you get rid of Peppers and keep Jaron Elliott, you could arguably say that you're going to get equal production, if not better production, because we really don't know. And you're saving yourself millions of dollars in the cap. I mean, it's for me, it's I don't want to say a no-brainer because I'm not going to act like I'm that smart, but it seems like a very smart decision to me. For the money you can save, and you're getting about the same. If you get the same production as Peppers gave last season, and Jaron Elliott gives you that for a cheap price tag, then yeah, that should be an easy call. Should be an easy call. Not to mention just for depth too. If you let him go, I mean, we'd be losing linebackers. So I mean, we've talked about what four linebackers so far this time. I mean, we've got to. It comes the issue of depth as well. So Jaron Elliott, I would love to have. He's been with his defense now a couple of years. Ted Thompson and Capers love guys like that, keeping guys like that around. So that's I would love to see him back.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I've been beating the drum for Elliott for a very, very, very long time. He played, last year. He played 13.2% of defensive snaps, which is preposterous.
In the games that he was active.
I mean, like you said, the only reason he's not back is, like you said, if he's, for whatever reason, in a doghouse, if coaches don't like him. I do remember some complaints about him, like, early in this season or maybe last season. Basically in that he didn't necessarily work all that hard in practice. I believe that was it. But then also that he... like his production went down or something, which I don't necessarily know how you can know if he's not seeing the field at all. I mean, as far as special teams player, I'd say he's behind Janis as far as their best special teamer. And then you get him out on defense as well. I mean, we saw Janis basically made the team last year just because of his special teams prowess. And Elliott, I think, as a restricted free agent, not getting huge money, no one's going to give him a huge offer sheet, I can't imagine. I think he'll make it based on special teams alone, but with Peppers vacating, I imagine Elliott will get some more snaps. Like, there's no reason not to keep that guy around based on what I've seen. Like, he's fantastic. He seems like Jordan, like you said, every time he's out there, he makes plays. Like, I really, really like him. I think he's back next year.
And I got one more defensive player for you guys, and that is... Micah Hyde, to be or not to be, Dusty.
I mean, it depends on what his contract, on what other, I mean, all it takes is one team, right, to just throw crazy money at him. To me, Hyde doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to command high looks from other teams. He made that, dynamite play in that Cowboys game, just that terrific, just look at the play ahead of time, diagnose it. Running could have been a pick six. Really smart guy, like limited athletically. Like he's not a fast guy, but he kind of knows where to be. He's a decent tackler. I always kind of thought he's a little too small, but I always kind of thought he could be like a kind of that new wave, the Deion Buchanan kind of linebacker, kind of hybrid linebacker. But I mean, you can put him at slot corner. You can put him back in safety. He's not great in space. But he knows where to be. Like he's a very, very smart player that can play well despite some of his limitations, and he fits really well within this defense. A couple times you kind of look at him and he's maybe out of spot a little bit, but not too much. He seems like the kind of guy. He's been, Jordan mentioned earlier, you got guys that are in the defense a little bit, get him in there a few years. They like those guys. He seems like the kind of guy Capers would kind of like. You can put him in a couple different spots. He knows his assignments. I'd say unless someone throws crazy, crazy, crazy money at him, I'd kind of be shocked if Hyde's not back next year.
Yeah, I agree that not. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of teams that throw big money at him. I mean, you mentioned his limitations. He's not a fast player. That's just what this team needs so badly is fast guys. Now, where do they come from? I'm not sure. I mean, that's where the draft is going to come into play and the decisions they make on these guys. I really this is a tough one for me. I honestly don't know. Like, I don't think this is even a money issue. I think this is more of a fit issue. I tend to agree with you in the fact, and even like I said with the last guy we talked about, that Hyde's been here for a little bit. He's made plays. He's been impactful. They have him on the field all the time, so that obviously shows they want to have him out there. So I do think he's back. I think there's ways of upgrading probably when it comes to Hyde. There's just times where, like, one on one, the dude he's just not fast. I just need guys that are faster in the secondary. It's a killer when you know you don't have that, when you don't have that catch up speed, and he does not have that catch up speed. So at the end of the day, I do think he's back, but
did any of you guys see the Jaguars coming in last year and signing Devon House to a 4-year $24.5 million deal? Like, that, I feel like that just kind of came out of nowhere. And
yeah,
I mean, is this defense going to be, I mean, we lost Hayward and House last year to free agency. I mean, Micah Hyde, losing him, that would just be going in the wrong direction. I feel like this Packers secondary wants to go.
Struck me as a guy that,
you can't pay him $6 million a year or whatever, but no. I mean, It's crazy.
I mean, House struck me as a guy that, like, I don't know, he had a couple things he did well. Like, I always kind of compare, of current Packer players, Gunter kind of played like House played. House was better at it, but he's kind of like, he wasn't overly fast, but he kind of knew where to be, and he was kind of like those long arms. He kind of lock up. Unless they had top end speed, he kind of knew how to use his body. And to me, House seemed like one of those guys that was, like, just kind of learning. He had just kind of seemed like he turned a corner, was just kind of getting to where you could kind of squint and see a number one or number two corner in there. And I feel like that's what the Jaguars paid for. Hyde, to me, I like Hyde as long as you keep him when he does well. Hyde, to me, seems like the same guy he was when he came into the league. Like, he can do a handful of different things, like, fairly well, but none of them amazing. Like, he's a decent returner. He's decent as a safety. He can diagnose plays. He's decent as a slot receiver or a slot corner, provided the guy isn't super, super fast. Like, that's one of those things where I mean, Jordan, you were talking about speed. Like, Randall's fast, but you put Randall in zone and Randall doesn't know where to go. Like, Hyde knows where to be. Hyde understands this defense, which is not always an easy thing. And I feel like Hyde has not shown the flashes that House did. And I think that's why I think that Hyde doesn't get the big money where House kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, thing with Hyde too is he's a fifth round pick. I mean, they've done pretty well considering he's a late round pick. And yeah, if you're keeping him where he belongs, playing strong safety, he can make plays. He's made plays. You mentioned the play against the Cowboys in the playoffs. I mean, I've never seen that before. I always envision, I'm like, man, if one guy would just jump that route, and he's like the first guy I've ever seen that just jumps that little screen route. I've never seen that before until he did it. So he's definitely got a head on his shoulders, and I think they value that. So which kind of reaffirms my opinion that they're going to keep him around. But at the end of the game, I mean, this defense just needs to get faster, and he's not fast. You mentioned about Randall and his athleticism. Yeah, he just, if he could just transfer the smarts of Hyde to Randall, then that'd be fantastic. But that's,
well, I don't say that. No, I know either because I really like him, and I think this next season.
Well, he's a convert. I mean, he didn't play the position in college, right? I mean, he was a Yeah. He's a safety in college. He's trying to play corner in a Dom Capers defense. That's a really tough thing to do. especially when you're hurt. So.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is very true, Jordan.
Thank you.
And before we transition into the offensive side of to be or not to be, Jordan, once again, as long as you are with us, please tell us about Pride and Glory Clothing.
Pride and Glory Clothing Company, guys, been sponsoring us for quite a while. Off season, that's okay. It's still always a good time to be rocking the green and gold. And they have great options for rocking the green and gold. A lot of good short sleeve, long sleeve t-shirts, getting ready for those warmer months. Lots of great options. We've mentioned the sweep diagram shirt. Me and Dusty have been rocking that for a long time. I don't remember when I had that, but I rocked that pretty much once a week. Love that shirt. Lots of other great options, gift ideas, in case you missed Valentine's Day, which would be pretty bad of you if you did that. But, you know, are we a week past already? Yeah. You got some real make. I probably would go somewhere a little bit more expensive, but anyway. But check out Pride and Glory Clothing Company. That's prideandglory63.com. Prideandglory63.com.
I actually bought a second sweep shirt as well because they released it in the Acme Packers color, the blue and gold, and so I ended up buying the blue and gold one as well. Just amazing.
I like it.
They're some of the best Packers shirts on the market. Get yourself some.
Yes.
All right.
Treat yourself.
And guys, the offensive side of the ball now. Let's have some fun with this one. Yes. TJ Lang, to be or not to be, probably the most talked about Packers player right now, as far as what he's been, as far as his comments, how they were perceived and things like that. But let's get into the heat right now. TJ Lang, to be or not to be.
Well, with TJ Lang, there are a few things to this team that are just so invaluable, and one of them is keeping number 12 upright. TJ Lang is our second best offensive lineman. Really, the debate is who would be filling his shoes. There's talk of Treader, but Treader is an unrestricted free agent as well. It's just who's going to fill the shoes of a TJ Lang. We've seen what Don Barkley has offered for the position. I don't think anybody really wants to see that going forward. So for me, I think you need to bring him back. This is just having a line that gives Rodgers the time to do what Rodgers can do is what really makes this team scary. Weakening the offensive line, I think, is quite the risk. You kind of see what happened in Seattle. I mean, they took a risk, went and got Jimmy Graham, sacrificed a great offensive lineman, and that really made their offense it made it worse. They added a fantastic talent, but it made the team worse because Russell Wilson was running for his life. Now, I don't think it'll be quite the same case. I mean, there's still a decent offensive line even without Lang, but in this case, you want to have Rodgers upright, and Lang really helps that. He had injury issues last year. Everybody does. I mean, he's you don't know if you're going to have injury issues with the next guy. You know what Lang can offer when he's healthy. I think he's worthy of whatever he's going to be getting paid. I think the Packers got to bring him back.
I think he's gone. I mean, I don't necessarily like it, but I think he's 30. I believe he just turned 30. You mentioned the injury issues. I mean, to me, this doesn't look too much different than the sitting thing. He's a guard. He's a guard that's given them some good years, but he's also a guard that has shown a little bit of injuries, played through some injuries. But I think he's got another couple good years in him. I can't see Ted giving him more than a 2-year deal, and I can't see Lang taking that. I think he's going to go somewhere else. I can see either Spriggs putting on some weight, stepping into that, or moving Bulaga in to that guard position and putting Spriggs outside, or putting Treader at that guard position. Treader's had injury issues of his own, but I mean, I just think with the money he will probably command, which I would guess would probably be in the $8 to $9 million a year range for a guard, on the wrong side of 30 that has been battling some injuries, I think the max deal would be maybe 2 years, and I think someone's going to overpay for Lang, and I think he's going to take it. It's going to be sad to see him go, but I really don't think he's back next year.
I mean, the big difference that I'd say in the Sitton issue, like comparing it to Josh Sitton, obviously the age of the injuries for sure, but they were the confidence they had in plugging Lane Taylor into that position was, I mean, they were demonstrative about it. That's not the case this time. You don't have that for sure fill in right now. Maybe they feel that way about one of these guys, and they will let Lane go. I mean, obviously there was a lot of debate on whether Lane Taylor was going to be ready for it, and he showed that he was, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We don't know who that guy is. I mean, you just gave two options there. Bulaga, who's played tackle his whole life, his whole career, or Treader, who hasn't played the position much, and he's had injury issues. So there's no obvious fill for that position there. So I think that's the one difference. I get your points. Obviously there's going to be a price that's too high to pay for a guard. And I guess with teams with their offensive lines could be desperate enough to do it, but I don't know. I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous for the effectiveness of this offense next year if Lane is not here. I mean, you're looking to the future. I get that, but again, we have Rodgers is 32, 33. You got to be playing for this guy too. And I mean, you want to think for the future, but you kind of need that little. You kind of need the win now mentality a little bit. And we only got another 5 years with him, and Lane can probably give you another good two or three out of those. And then you revisit this situation at that point. But right now, I'm not sure there's an obvious fill. And if this offense takes a decline because our offensive line is not as strong as it was, then that's, I don't know. It's tough for me to accept that. It's tough for me to accept that as an excuse.
I mean, I could also see, like I said, I could see Spriggs in that. So I give three options. You could do Spriggs in that guard position as well. Put on a little bit of weight. He was adequate when he filled in. A little bit last year. He doesn't have the weight, and he just doesn't have – but, I mean, they drafted him to either be the tackle or a filling guard. I mean, they drafted him last year. I can see Ted's thinking. I think if Taylor – not Taylor, I'm sorry. If Lang had another year under contract, they wouldn't trade him like they did Sitner. They wouldn't release him. But I can't see Thompson giving a guy like that another contract, a decent size, like 4 or 5 year deal for a guy with that history. When he drafted Spriggs last year, he's got Treader who he likes. I mean, Treader, the injury stuff, whatever. I don't know, man. Like, I really like Lang,
yeah.
But I can't see Ted giving him 4 years. Like, it just, and I think that's what it's going to take. I can't see that.
I understand that. For me, I think there's a way of probably working a contract around to make that happen. To make that happen, where if in a couple of years he wants out, we want to get rid of him, then it could be done. I don't know. I just it's you got to.
I mean, I hope yeah, you're right. I mean, 30 years isn't. 30 years isn't really old for a guard. I mean, even battling injuries, I mean, guys can play through
that. He's a tough dude, too. I mean, this isn't...
He is. I can kind of see Ted's thinking, I don't know, man. I think this is where you
spend the money, though. Like, we've mentioned guys like Hyde and Perry and Matthews and guys that I don't want to see money spent on. The offensive line is what I'd like to see our money get spent on. So if it means overpaying a little bit for Lane, I'm fine with that. I really am fine with that. So I that's what I sincerely hope happens.
That was some nice debating right there, guys. I was very, very entertained by that. And you know, I think I'm of the mindset with Jordan. You gotta pay the man. I know that He's got an injury history and things like that, but when you're talking about just how important Rodgers is to the team and how consistent and solid Lang has been for the Packers, he still has some great football in him. And I think what you mentioned, Dusty, I think Spriggs is the X factor in this situation. But I would like to see the Packers keep TJ Lang. And moving on, let's talk about let's talk about the other guy that you talked about, Dusty, and that is J.C. Tretter. To be or not to be. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, Tretter is super interesting because he was, for years, for at least it seems like a year or two, the center of the future. And he stepped in, or he was looking really good, injured. Lindsley stepped in, and just Lindsley's been dynamite, and Tretter just never got a chance. And then the super interesting thing about him is that he can be, he's that backup center, and you know you basically have two starting caliber centers on your roster. But he can also step in anywhere else. Like, he's a very versatile, he's basically what the Packers wanted Don Barkley to be, and just tried to force him into, but better. He stepped in at the tackle position for a little bit and wasn't a disaster. I mean, I wouldn't want him starting at left tackle every single game, but he wasn't terrible out there. He can step in anywhere along the line. I mean, you need that with an offensive line with, I don't understand how five times a game offensive linemen aren't out of the game getting rolled up on. But at any given moment, someone can go out, miss a couple plays. And we saw that, was it a couple years ago? I believe in Seattle. Where Barkley had a Kabulaga left, Barkley came in and immediately gave up a safety, just got blown by, just super, super quick. You need a guy who can step in any position, and Tretter can be that center if they need him to be, but he's a super, super versatile lineman. I mean, the knock on him is just, man, he's always injured. It just seems like he's always injured somehow. But when he's healthy, he's super, super versatile. He can step in anywhere. I really like him. I can't imagine he's not with Green Bay next year, unless someone just pays silly money for him, which I can't imagine they will, given his history. He's definitely back. I would say definitely back in Green Bay next year.
Yeah, kind of compare it to Nick Perry on the other side, where the injury might be a blessing in disguise for the Packers and their financial situation. I think teams a couple years ago were like, oh man, anxious for Tretter to be a free agent because they're going to keep Lindsley and they'll probably let Tretter go. That's where we're at right now. But Tretter, again, was hurt for most of last season. So we haven't seen him much on the field, mainly because we've had five guys that are better than him, which is something to be said. I mean, it's impressive offensive line that Ted has crafted. I mean, they give him credit for that. But I think, regardless, the fact that he's been injured, I think the Packers will be able to get him for cheap. If he does keep getting hurt, then he's cheap. And if he stays healthy, then he is a fantastic backup for, like you said, pretty much every position on the offensive line. And that's what you want. You want a guy, in case one guy goes down, you can put Tretter in there and the line can function as a whole for the most part. That's, again, just going back to the Lane thing, this is why I'd like to have Lane back and Tretter be a backup just for the depth factor. Whereas if you have Tretter line... Who's backing him up? I mean, yeah, you mentioned
Don Barkley.
Exactly. Exactly. you got Spriggs, who's a second year player who didn't really impress so much this past season. He was fine, but he's a second round pick, so you expect good things out of him. But it's just like who else is there? I mean, there's no real depth right now. Whereas if we're able to if we can keep Lane and Tretter, then I mean Rodgers is going to be a happy man, and That's got to be priority one, not just keeping him happy, but keeping him upright. I mean, allowing him to do what he does. That's what makes this team so good. When you sacrifice that, then you're really playing with fire. And even with any kind of good defensive moves, even if our defense starts playing better next season, if Rodgers isn't allowed to be as effective as he can be, then this team suffers, and we're not a championship team when that happens. So,
go ahead. One of the talking points is for an offensive line, it's always continuity on the offensive line. It's getting those five guys playing together as much as possible for as many games as possible. And then something else you hear is for guys that move around a lot, it's harder to block for them just because you get a lot of holding calls, right? You get guys breaking the pocket. You get a guy like Rodgers who can stand back in the pocket, who will also break the pocket when he needs to. It seems like for a guy like that, continuity along the offensive line is also just so much more important. To have a guy like Tretter that can step in, that also knows some of those habits, knows how he plays. I mean, it's don't know, like it seems very important to have guys that kind of know that quarterback's playing style, that are familiar enough with it to know how to play it when the play starts breaking.
Yeah, you mentioned, think about the plays where he has 7 or 8 seconds in the pocket. I mean,
yeah,
what if that happens with another quarterback, it's probably because somebody's holding somebody. And it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, no. Like they say, you can call hold on every penalty, but they're not. They're just they're pushed in the right ways. And Rodgers is just, he's superhuman navigating the pocket back there. But you're right. I mean, to a point, yeah, it's the offensive line knowing how he operates, and it's not by accident. It's not like yeah, they're just pushing those guys somewhere, and Rodgers is reacting. Like those guys are smart. Lane is a big part of that. Treader can be a part of that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If these guys aren't on the team, it's again, I'll just say it again, it hurts. It hurts this team. Rodgers isn't able to do that next year then.
And I got two more names for you guys. One being Eddie Lacy. Big old Eddie Lacy, hey little Eddie Lacy up the middle. To be or not to be. Packer.
Been holding on to that one for
a while. You better be careful. Larrabee's stealing that one. Larrabee's stealing that one next year.
That's like the ongoing theme that we have at my household. You know, anytime Eddie Lacy touches the ball and runs up the middle, it's hey diddle diddle Eddie Lacy up the middle. And but yeah, guys, Eddie Lacy, interesting one. Packer or not?
I mean, this has been a talking point all year. We talked about this before the season. We were talking about this during the season. And I mean, Jordan's brought this up 2 or 3 times already. Like, this is a case where the injury may help. He had that ankle injury. He's had some weight issues, multiple weight issues. So many weight issues. But even, I mean, he has shown enough talent. I just said the injury would help him. And I think it will to an extent. But he has shown so much talent as a big guy who can move. Just his feet navigating the holes are just incredible. Just so quick. He doesn't have that top end speed, but he's got just incredible, just quickness and burst through the hole. Very intelligent, very, very strong. Teams, even with the injury, teams are going to be lining up to maybe not pay him a ton, but pay him quite a bit. I mean, I think the only way he's back with the Packers is on a 1-year deal. If they pay him one year incentive laden deal, I can see him coming back to try to earn a big contract somewhere else. But if any team decides we're going to pay him huge money, there's no way the Packers are matching that based on just how they've treated running backs in the past to how Montgomery looked this past year. Like, Lacy may be on a 1-year deal. I'd love to have him back because I love that dude. But I mean, I don't know, man. I do not see him back in Green Bay next year.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree. It'd be a prove it contract. That'd be the only viable option, I think, for the Packers to sign into anything more than a year is pretty foolish, really. Especially when you have an offense that can operate without a running game, which we did for quite a few games this year until Tom Montgomery, decided to just go to the backfield and be awesome. Lacy's great. Lacy can be great back there, but I think his production is replaceable. Truthfully, I think they could probably get someone in the draft, mid round running back that could probably be plugged in and get similar production. Not saying equal production. I think Lacy before he got hurt was averaging 5 yards a carry, which is nothing to say boo at, but. Yeah. Just with the injuries and then just the way with this offense operates, you don't need to splurge on a running back like him. Again, when it comes, I've said about the defense needs to get faster. The offense needs to get faster too. So a guy like Lacy is fantastic for bruising defenses, but that's great if you're giving him the ball 20, 25 times a game, and that's probably not going to happen. So it's a case where I think a speed running back would be a much more dynamic threat to our offense. So if it's a 1-year deal, I don't see how they don't make that decision. If teams offer him multiple years and he wants that, then I hope they don't pay that. I mean, again, it would suck if Lacy left, but there's no reason for the Packers to be paying that money to him.
Well, if you look at what Green Bay did on the ground this year as well, they were 30th in the league at rushing attempts with 22.8. Contrast that with Dallas was number one at 30.8. And so they were running the ball eight fewer times per game, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it kind of is over the course of a game, over the course of a season. Even when they were winning, even when they were doing their run the table thing, they were averaging slightly less than 20. So it's not like they were, I mean, they weren't running. They weren't padding the numbers. They weren't running because they were up. Like, they were throwing the ball a lot. They will always throw the ball a lot. They're always near the bottom of the league in terms of rushing attempts per game. With a guy like Aaron Rodgers, they're always going to be like that. Lacy was great, but Lacy doesn't have the value to Green Bay that, say, he would with a team like, I don't know, like Tennessee or Houston or Carolina, say, some kind of running team like that. Like, it's just different. They're not, Green Bay is not going to overpay for a running back. Just not now, not any time in the near future. No. And Lacy's no different, as good as he is. I don't see Lacy
in Carolina. Okay. That's an interesting thought.
I mean, God, he'd be incredible in Carolina.
I never thought. I haven't really thought much about where he would go, but him with Cam Newton, that'd be interesting. That'd be really good.
That would be, yeah.
That would be a little shake and bake right there, you know? Cam with that'd a little shake and Lacy with the bake, you know?
The power. Mm-hmm. The power option with Newton, Tolbert, and Lacy.
I think Tolbert's gone.
Is he?
You basically, I'd say you go pistol with Newton and Lacy behind him, and you just have Newton acting as the fullback and just paving the road for Lacy. That would be terrifying.
Oh my goodness. I could root for the Panthers then. That'd be awesome.
and then Cam can complain about the way that the guys are going up against his blocks and it'll bring things full circle.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now
I like
it. Guys,
Lacy, very good in pass protection too. Oh, protect against protect Cam there too. Like, that'd be a good fit.
That's true. Didn't really
Hey Carolina, you're welcome.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that. Pass protection, Lacy's fantastic. So
Montgomery and Ripkowski are definitely not. So
yeah, that's a take on Montgomery right there. It's like, I feel like with 20 touches a game, I think the guy can produce, but it's a very serious question when it comes to his pass protection.
I think he'll be fine. I mean, he started the year as a wide receiver. If he plays running back all next year, I think he's going to get the predictions down. He's a smart guy. I think Montgomery would be fine. I think he was thrust into a situation. I don't think he quite got all the way there. I think he'd be fine next year, but it was a little. He was kind of touchy. It was pretty hard to watch at times.
Picking up blitzes, though. I mean, if you remember back to the Super Bowl, I mean, the momentum switched on. Was it Freeman or Coleman? I don't remember which one it was. You know, whiffing on a protection, and then Ryan fumbles.
Freeman.
That was the play of the game. If that play doesn't happen, Falcons are probably Super Bowl champs. It's just it's little things like that. So I mean, which you can't discount when you're making decisions like this. So yeah, hopefully Montgomery, if he is our back next year, he does need to get better at that. But
yeah,
well, not to mention, guys, we got Houdini Rodgers at quarterback. Where he can see a blitz through the back of his head. Like, it's ridiculous what this guy can do. So it's like, you still need someone that can pick up the blitz and all that stuff. But I mean, Rodgers' escapability is pretty phenomenal. And so is his throwing ability. And one of his top targets down the stretch was number 89, Jared Buffalo Wild Wings Cook. And, and I need to know. Is he still going to be ordering Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay next year, to be or not to be?
I don't know if we should. That's it's a risky man. That story just grossed me out so much.
I mean, I phrase it that way.
It's really funny because I remember when that story came out, and I'm like, oh man, like the guy, he's been hurt. This year hasn't been good for him. Like, then this happens to him. Like, oh, this guy is probably hating this year so much. He's going to be gone.
Not his
He's going to be gone so fast that then he starts tearing it up, and now he wants to come. I'm like, oh, that worked out well. But I'm just like, I mean, how does that happen?
I phrase it that way because I feel like re-signing Jared Cook is pretty much a no-brainer. Like, I feel like it's a mutual fit for both teams. I mean, I guess kind of in a way, I want to know if he's going to be ordering for Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay next year while he's still here with a new deal.
For anyone who's listening that doesn't know what we're talking about, I don't remember exactly when this was. I think it was maybe September or October. Jared Cook went to a Buffalo Wild Wings in the Green Bay area, and in the set of wings that he was delivered was an actual chicken head, I do believe. Like a fried chicken head. Which would absolutely kill my appetite. I'd be furious. And I'm sure he probably was too. That would
It didn't look bad.
It looked
edible.
It looked like Dusty, no.
I mean, I figured in Kentucky you're seeing chicken heads on the shelves everywhere in the grocery stores.
I used to work at a grocery store where you stock cans of pig's brain, man. Chicken heads, nothing, son. Nothing. Some pig hooves, man. I know what's up.
In all seriousness, guys, Give me your thoughts on Jared Cook in Green Bay next year, to be or not to be.
Any guy that Rodgers praises that much, I think really probably deserves to be back on this team. I mean, he obviously loved throwing to him. Not even just that, the catch in Dallas. Just so many other times when Rodgers just felt comfortable throwing up a lob pass and having Cook go up and get it. We haven't had a threat like that at the tight end position in a long time, and not since Finley, really. And
not
Cook
since
was
Chewy.
Keith Jackson, Bubba Franks. I remember Bubba Franks. Now Bubba Franks, the king of the 1 yard touchdown, and nothing else.
Say Bubba Franks was basically Richard Rodgers before Richard Rodgers.
Bubba Franks touchdown celebration was
the inspiration
to all of my high school PE touchdown celebrations ever.
Just the spike and then the grab the chest of the jersey and throw it out. Like, what are you? Like, I don't know what you're throwing out. I was just about to. I'm so glad you mentioned it because I was just about to mention it too. That was fantastic. right after a play action by Favre and Franks is wide open in the end zone. He had a nice career in Green Bay.
Dusty, Jared Cook, he's a Packer next year in your mind?
Oh man, I can't see a scenario where he's not. I mean. He genuinely seemed to love playing there. There's that picture, I think after the Dallas game, where him and Rodgers are hugging, and it's just the biggest smile I've ever seen on a human. I mean, Cook praised the city, praised the team. He was so excited to be there, like genuinely seemed to love it. And I mean, it started off a little slow. We saw it in the preseason. Cook was making a difference in the preseason. Early in the season, only like a couple catches a game before the injury, and like nothing really special. But he came back, man, down the stretch. He was great. He had some, like Jordan said, threw some jump balls. He had some huge, it seemed like every third down, Rodgers was looking for him on like a 10-yard out. And he was just throwing, even if he was covered, man, he's covered by a slow linebacker or an undersized cornerback, and Rodgers just throwing high and outside, and Cook just coming down with it. He had some drops. The concern about him coming to Green Bay was the drops. He had some drops in that Falcons game. It didn't make the difference, but they did kind of surface. But I don't know, man, just the fit, just what he did while he was there, as excited he was to be there. I can't imagine a scenario where Cook is not back in Green Bay next year. And I was a little hesitant on him before the season. The drops do still concern me a little bit, but man, what a difference he made. I'm super, super excited. Like I said, I can't see a scenario where he's not back next year.
I almost thought they were gonna kiss after seeing that, after seeing how giddy they were with each other after that play in Dallas.
They may have, but they just didn't get the picture of it, or it got burned somewhere. But I mean, I don't want to say that they didn't, because it looked like they were getting ready.
Probably thought about the chicken head right beforehand.
Oh my god!
You know what, Aaron? I can't right now.
Not right now. Not right now.
Mind is elsewhere. I just can't do it.
And that wraps up to be or not to be. And if I'm not mistaken,
that was fun.
People sent in some Twitter questions for us to answer. So, Jordan, Please do read to us what they said.
All right. We have the first Twitter question. This is from at Tyler underscore Strenky. Asked us, well, he said, I've heard trade rumors involving the Packers. What do you think is the likelihood of the Packers making an impact trade? I mean, there's rumors all over the place this time of year, just because people need something to talk about. For us to make an impact trade, I don't know exactly what we'd trade. There's not a chance that Ted trades draft picks. That's against his nature. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to trade draft picks. I don't know who on our active roster we'd be willing to trade. I just can't think of guys that I'm like, oh yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I just don't see it. So I think the likelihood is pretty low that we make even any kind of trade, let alone an impact trade. If anything, he's trading some unknown dude for a 7th round conditional draft pick. That's the trade we'll make. That's what I'm thinking.
Like, there's been rumors, there's been talk a little recently about Connor Barwin, about possibly getting throwing a pick out for Connor Barwin. It's 4th or 5th round, but no, 30 years old. Like, he could make a difference. His numbers were bad last year, but he was in 4-3. Last time he played 3-4, he was 37th in the league in pressures with 21, which isn't great, but it's also higher than any Packer not named Clay Matthews back in 2015. So, I mean, he would be a welcome addition, but like Jordan said, like, when does Ted trade draft picks, especially for a guy who may end up being dropped anyway? I would like to see something. I wouldn't mind seeing Barwin on, but yeah, I mean, as a Packers fan, there's a lot of things that we get to cheer for, and I love being a Packers fan. This era, watching any kind of impact trade, generally not one of those things that I'm really think is going to happen. So, yeah, it's just, there's nothing that really shows that this is going to happen, though.
All right. And we have one more question from our resident Bears fan, our greatest fan, perhaps, Brian Avilas at BrianBBLL148. He asks the question, what position does each team in the NFC North need to draft in the first round? That's a great question. It's a fantastic question. Me personally, as a Packer fan, and this will probably change a couple times before the draft happens, I would like to see the Packers draft a edge rusher. That's what I'd like to see. Get picked some kind of outside linebacker or defensive end, something for the edge. I think that's where we can get our greatest impact from a first round pick. A lot of talk about cornerback. I'd rather not do that in the first round again. That's where I'd like to see them do a veteran pickup in free agency, but we'll see. Who knows what Ted is thinking. That's where I'm at. That's what I think we need. Comes to the Bears. I mean, I think today they said they were calling teams about trading Jay Cutler, which is funny. I don't think much is going to come of that, but you never know. You never know. So, I mean, it's hard to imagine the Bears not at least entertaining the thought of a quarterback after that. I mean, they still have plenty of needs all over the place, even on defense too. I mean, they're still quite a few pieces away. So, but for the sake of being fun for this question, we'll say the Bears need a quarterback. They're going to go quarterback. Lions, probably something on defense again. I mean, their linebacker, they have DeAndre Levy, Whitehead. It's not a whole lot of depth there, so I imagine them probably going there. Their secondary is not too deep either, so something on the defensive end for sure. Their offense, their receivers have been fine. The Vikings, that's a tough spot for the Vikings now. Well, actually, they don't have a first-round pick, do they?
That's right. Sam Bradford's their first-round pick.
Sam Bradford's so their first-round pick.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that's brutal. That is brutal. I mean, I hate the Vikings, but, man, now that Bridgewater's going to sit out another whole year, that's tough. That's really tough.
I figure if he's sitting out another year, man, that's bad. Done. Like, he may never come back, or if he does, he'll be completely different. Man, I'm really looking forward to that.
A knee injury that you're out 2 years for. It's not like he re-aggravated it. Or at least I don't think he did. He just,
no,
they just,
I
they
didn't
just,
read
they just said he,
that, no.
he can't play for another full year. I'm like, wow. I mean, that thing must be torn. Yeah, that thing must be torn to shreds.
I mean, maybe, if, yeah. You know, if you guys watched the XFL 30 for 30, at the end of it, Vince McMahon and the dude from NBC, whoever the other guy that started the XFL, they kind of talked about maybe starting up a new XFL. So maybe Teddy Bridgewater can pull a Tommy Maddox and give one good season in the XFL and back up the Steelers, start a couple games.
Bridgewater versus Losman. Oh man, that's gonna be a battle.
What is Teddy Bridgewater's name that goes on the back of his jersey?
something real boring. Something
real boring.
Real boring. Real boring.
Yeah. I love him, but he doesn't seem like an overly exciting dude.
Just like Ted. It's like a reborn Teddy. He's like, I'm a grown man now. He just puts Ted on the back there.
Grown man, just call me Ted.
That's what it is. Call me Ted.
I don't mind.
I've got
it's
sizzle.
Better than he hate me. I like it.
Oh my gosh, Dusty, what are your draft needs here for the NFC North?
Yeah, I'm gonna go as far as Packers first round. Probably same thing Jordan said. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the Packers go running back at some point. Say some kind of quick scat back to kind of counter. Maybe some of what Montgomery is going to give them, or maybe even just what they think is going to be kind of a bruiser number one, but they're not going to do that first round. I think, I mean, whether they re-sign Perry or not, whether they keep Clay or not, edge rusher is going to be huge. I mean, talked about those young corners. The best way to help out some struggling corners and struggling secondary is a pass rush. I think they're going to go pass rush. They got a lot of other positions kind of solidified, but edge rusher seems the way to go. Actually, I think Lions the same thing. They need some help along that defense. They're not going to go corner first round, or at least they shouldn't if they think they need help now. If they see themselves a contender. They got Nada in the middle. They may go just anywhere defensive line. Like, Nada's kind of getting older, wasn't as great this past year. I think it was their first year with them. But they really have Ansa as their edge rusher, and that's it. So I kind of see them going something on the edge as well. Bears, I mean, it's the eternal thing for Bears. It's QB. I think Cutler's time is done. I think his if they don't trade him, I feel like he's not taking up a ton of money this year. I feel like they can cut him. Maybe that's next year, without a ton getting killed for it. And from what we've seen of Barkley, Barkley's not the answer there. So they're not going to contend right away. I think quarterback is going to be the thing they're going to go. Maybe have Barkley start another year. Maybe if they can't get rid of Cutler, one more year of Cutler. And then just have another quarterback in, hopefully for a year or two down the road. That will probably just be terrible because it's the Bears. Sorry, Brian, but they're never going to be good at quarterback. Vikings, man, I didn't scout any of this. I'm just flying off the seat of my pants here. But man, that Vikings O-line was terrible. It was garbage. And for a team, Bradford, Bridgewater, man, whoever they throw at a quarterback, that's a team that seems like they want to bruise people with a run. You can't bruise people with a run if your offensive line is just horrendous. So they're going to go... I think Vikings are going to have to go O-line. I don't know what position exactly, but just somewhere on the O-line I can see them going. That seems to be their biggest
probably best available. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I am in complete agreement with you guys as far as who the Packers need to what they need to address in this draft. Some edge rusher type player. Hopefully someone that can get to the quarterback, and I think that should be number one on their draft list. And Chicago quarterback. I mean, I feel like I'm saying Dusty's list exactly.
I'm really smart,
yeah,
John.
And you know, and the Vikings O line, and then I'm gonna go ahead and say that the Lions should draft some running back help. So that's gonna be my list. And now we're gonna close out the Twitter questions and move on to our final thoughts of the evening. And Dusty, what are your final thoughts this evening?
Man, I've got two. So one is, so I was watching on Netflix. Have you guys seen the Santa Clarita Diet?
I don't know anything about it, but I've seen the title.
It's essentially a sitcom with the premise that there's kind of a small-scale zombie virus going on. So the beginning of the series is Drew Barrymore. She dies. She becomes a zombie. But she can be, like, just a normal human as long as she, you know, eats the flesh of humans or whatever. So it's kind of a classic zombie setup, except it's kind of set in a sitcom world. Some of the jokes are a little hokey, but it has Timothy Olyphant in it. And ooh. Timothy Olyphant, whatever he does, is he can do no wrong, man. Like, Deadwood, Justified, he was in the remake of Romero's The Crazies. Just everything he's in, and in this one, he's just kind of like this, the manic husband to Drew Barrymore's zombie, and he's incredible. There's every line he delivers is gold. It's fantastic. The show itself, it depends on the episode, but he's always great. It's worth watching just for Olyphant. And he was in Scream 2. Yeah, he was Mickey in Scream 2, kind of the Jamie Kennedy-like nerdy horror guy. Yes. But man, like everything he's in is just awesome. So I'm just madly in love with Timothy Olyphant. Great in this. Good cast. Not a huge Barrymore fan. They could do without her. But oh, good show. Worth watching. I thoroughly enjoyed it. My second one, I've talked about this like three or four times already, but it's finally out. I did a podcast on the Babadook pop-up book, and it was awesome. One of the best times not with you guys that I've had doing
a podcast. Thank you for
that. Just an absolute blast kind of talking about the nature of the movie and the nature of the book and kind of getting into some of that stuff, whether it's a good idea to actually own a book that may or may not be cursed, kind of knowing that it may carry something dark with it. So we had a lot of fun with it. I had a good time. So it's up on, it was with CC over at Bloody Good Horror, but it's through their Patreon paywall. But I actually got a deal with them, and it's over at horrorwriters.com. There's a dash between the horror and the writers. And you can find it over there under the podcast section. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's like half an hour long or something. Just an absolute blast. So that was a lot of fun. I'm hoping to do a couple more of those in the future, but just a blast. So if you get a chance, listen to that. That's all I got, man. I miss talking to you guys. This off season is always long. So hopefully we can connect more in the not too distant future here, but it's good to be back talking Packers with you guys.
Dusty, like I said, you bring the heat every freaking week.
Noise, maybe.
I always say that and I always mean it, and you know, your presence was missed, and it has been a pleasure to podcast with you this evening. And go ahead and plug yourself, if you wouldn't mind, as far as where people can tweet you directly at.
I'm at Dusty Evely. I've been not on it as much recently as I had been, but yeah, if you've got anything, hit me up. I'm hoping to fire back up some football writing in the not too distant future. So, I'm excited about it. That's where you can.
And I apologize about not listening to your, alternative podcast yet. And you have definitely piqued my interest with this whole,
you're fine.
No. You have piqued my interest with this whole book carrying a freaking curse thing. Cause that sounds extremely interesting. And more frightening than interesting, but more to the fact that it's probably going to be a great listen. So guys, go check that out.
That was fun. I don't know how good a listen it was, but it was a blast to record. So,
and Jordan Peck.
Yes, I actually have two final thoughts myself. You mentioned Netflix, Dusty. I think you'd even mention this first and foremost to me. I've had other friends. I recommend the show Black Mirror to me. Oh, yeah. I've only seen one episode so far, but I was very much into it.
You're moved.
It was
good. You're moved.
It was just different. I'd heard that it was a little more philosophical and just odd and different, and it was great. I really liked it. So I'm anxious to check out more of those episodes. So.
It gets a little preachy at times, but it's pretty good.
Well, it's funny. So I was watching with a couple of friends of mine, and the one episode that we watched, they said this is about the happiest ending that you're gonna get. because it actually ended, you know, semi hopeful, and I was like, oh, that wasn't what I was expecting. I was kind of expecting this to, like, both of the main characters to die or something. That's what I was expecting. So I'm like, and then they said, yeah, this is about the only time it ends happily. So I'm like, oh, that's good. So I'm looking forward to more dismal endings in the future.
Sure.
So that's my first final thought. I'm looking forward to watching more of that. And then my second final thought is, it's getting warmer, guys. I'm excited for baseball season. I'm trying to figure out which parks I really want to see this summer. I'm trying to knock some more off my list. Now that I've moved out to the East Coast, I'm going to try to get Philadelphia and Citizens Bank Park off the list. I've been to PNC. PNC is a fantastic park to go see the Pirates. I'd love to get up to Citi Field in New York. From what I've heard, that is a fantastic ballpark. So I'm really looking to get to those couple parks. I'll be real, like Yankee Stadium, I don't know about your guys' thoughts about it. My sister-in-law is a diehard Yankees fan. I think she's been up to the new stadium. I have so little desire to go, guys. I don't know. No. If it was the old stadium, I think I'd be a little bit different.
But if it was old Yankee Stadium, it would be just a no-brainer.
I agree. But now that it just seems
too fancy, man. It's too clean.
Yeah.
I don't know. There doesn't seem a whole lot of character.
Derek Jeter would be the only thing to get me to go to a Yankees game, and he is not playing no more.
Absolutely not.
I specifically brought up Derek Jeter just to see what Dusty would say.
just flames on the side
Derek
of
Jeter. Derek Jeter is a GOAT. Jordan, go ahead and proceed with your final thoughts.
No. No, John.
I was going to say, I'm
Jordan, Jordan, you should come to Cincinnati.
I've been to the Reds park probably more in the last 10 years than I've even been to Miller Park, which is my hometown, right? Brewers.
Cool.
It's a good
park. Terrible team these days.
I do like Great American Ballpark. The concessions are a little lacking, but I do love how it's right on the river. It's a nice place to go watch a game. Not to mention, Reds fans don't really go out and support the team that much, so I can get really cheap tickets. I did like that a lot.
Oh, when they're bad, you can get tickets really down on the field for like $10.
Yes, and that happened quite a few times. It was great. It was great. Yeah. So, no, Cincinnati's good. Cincinnati's good. Actually, Detroit too. You're a Tigers fan, Dusty. I've never been to Comerica for a game.
Oh, Comerica's really nice. We should hook that up and head up there for a game at some point. That's a really nice stadium. Tigers could be a train wreck this year, so maybe some cheap tickets there as well.
There you go.
I'd see some Miggy any day of the week.
Yes.
Seriously, man. We should do that. If nothing else, go to Detroit game.
Forget
together.
The Packers Ooh. Game. Let's go see some baseball games.
Seriously.
Jordan.
Yes.
The last time I checked
Twitter.
Jordan, the last time I checked you out of Twitter. What is it?
When was the last time you checked, John?
Today, actually.
That was good. Yes, I still do have it. I didn't get rid of it yet. You guys can find me on Twitter at JGPeck41.
Again, JGPeck41.
Thanks, John.
And it is now time for John Jameson's final thoughts, and I will give three and continue the train rolling with your guys's whole Netflix thing. My roommate watches Shameless, and I gave that show just a solid effort to get into it. And I think situational wise, I think it's just too heavy for me at times. But then I was watching an episode today, and there's all these like moments that just like make you feel so good. And then all of a sudden, whatever character William H. Macy plays, he gets a liver transplant and then leaves the hospital and starts drinking like right afterwards, and then gives the bottle to his little son. And I'm like, all right, that's it. So, it's just situational wise, it's just too much for me. And, I know a lot of people have rave reviews on that show, but, that's my Netflix one. And then my second one is going to be talking about Mr. Buck, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, representing the great city of Milwaukee in the All-Star game this past weekend. He The guy is just the Greek Freak is one of the most appropriate nicknames for that dude. He is a superstar, and it was just I was a very proud Bucks fan to see what he was doing in the All-Star game, and I thought it was extremely funny when Steph Curry laid down on the ground so as to not get dunked on by him. That was very very funny on Steph's part, but man, that was really cool to see a Bucks player starting in an All-Star game, and not only starting but actually, like, you know, representing the city of Milwaukee and doing it extremely well. And my third final thought is going to be that Derek Jeter is the greatest baseball player of all time. The number two should be retired across all of baseball, and every stadium should have a Derek Jeter statue in front of it. You can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. And
when we talked about meeting at the Detroit game, John, you shouldn't come because I will fight you. No, I will fight you outside.
My goal this year is to travel to every MLB stadium so I can propose them building Derek Jeter statues in front of their parks. but in all seriousness, I do love Derek Jeter. He's not the GOAT. Richie Sexton is, and from there we'll just try and end this podcast. But guys, follow me on Twitter if you want. It is at John Jameson. Once again, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in, and hopefully you guys are getting an enjoyment out of these off-season podcast that we've been doing. We're trying to keep it fun and just knowledgeable at the same, and fact informational forming at the same time for all of you faithful listeners to us. And there's a lot of stuff coming up on the horizon here with the Packers, so keep tuning in. Some great content being given to you, if you choose to, at packtothefuture.com. Tons of draft articles being produced. And again, go to packtothefuture.com and give our awesome writers a little bit of feedback as to what they're doing. Tune in next week for Dusty and a very special guest. And until then, stay golden. Adios, Packer Nation.